Welcome to Bible Talk, the program that gives Bible answers to Bible questions. This program is brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. Your speaker is Lynn Huggins, preacher with the St. James Church of Christ.
Sometimes you hear people say, that church is a legalistic church, or that preacher preaches legalism. The statements are made negatively as something that is bad and something that we should avoid. But what is a legalist? What is legalism? What is it about legalism that is bad and that we should avoid? Well, this is the focus of our program today, and we're glad that you're with us. A legalist is defined by Webster's Revised Unabridged Dictionary as, and I quote, one who practices or advocates strict conformity to law. In theology, one who holds to the law of works, end of quote. Legalism is defined by Funk and Wagnalls, the Practical Standard Dictionary of the English Language, as, and I quote, close adherence to law, strict conformity to law. And number two, theological, the doctrine of salvation by works as distinguished from that by grace. Now, there are two definitions here. Number one, a legalist is a person who strives to strictly conform to the law. And the second definition is, a legalist is one who believes he is justified before God by his strict conformity to the law of God, and not by God's grace. Well, let us look at these two definitions of a legalist in light of the Scriptures. The first definition, that is, one who practices or advocates strict conformity to God's law, really describes a disciple of Christ. Jesus wants us to be strict about keeping his law. John 8 and verse 31 says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. In Luke 6 and verse 46, Jesus said, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Jesus is emphasizing that acknowledging him as Lord is not enough. We must do what he says. He said in Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Jesus here is saying we need to be strict about doing the will of the Father if we're going to enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, occasionally we hear people scoff at those who try to be strict in the keeping of God's law and label them legalists or present-day Pharisees. Well, let me emphasize, the Lord never did condemn the Pharisees for their strictness toward God's law. In fact, it was the opposite. In Matthew 23, verses 23 and 24, Jesus said, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Now, Jesus is not condemning the Pharisees here for their being strict about tithing, but rather it was because they had left undone weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. He was condemning them that while they were strict about tithing, they left undone other matters of the law. He said to them, these you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. In other words, Jesus is saying all of God's law is important to observe. It was wrong for them to emphasize one part of the law and leave the other part undone. They were not as strict toward keeping God's law as they should have been. Again, Jesus emphasized the importance of keeping his commandments. He said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. A disciple of Christ will be strict about doing what Jesus says and all that he said. And so, again I say, if strictness toward the keeping of God's law is what is meant by legalism, then we all need to be legalists. That's being a disciple of Christ. But the second definition is, and I quote, the doctrine of salvation by works as distinguished from that by grace. The legalist here is one who believes he is justified before God by his strict conformity to the law of God and not by God's grace. This is a legalism that is condemned in Scripture. The Pharisees were legalists in this sense. They sought to be righteous on the merits of their strictness and failed to recognize their need for the grace of God. In this sense, the legalist places before himself a code of conduct. He sets out to live strictly by that code and strives to be justified before God on the merit of this strict following of that code. One of two things will happen to the legalist. Either, number one, he will deceive himself into thinking that he is actually living by the code, which results in self-righteousness and despising all those weaklings who are not as good as he is. Or, number two, the more honest and realistic person will recognize how far short he is falling, becomes discouraged, and gives up. Well, the Pharisees fell into the first of these two categories. In their legalistic attitude, they were self-righteous, believing they were righteous on their own merits, and they despised all who did not come up to their supposed level of righteousness. This is seen in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector who went into the temple to pray, recorded in Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. Note the reason stated in verse 9 as to why Jesus spoke this parable. It says, "Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." Now, in the parable, the Pharisee, in his prayer to God, boasted of his obedience and did not acknowledge sin in his life. In his view, he was righteous on the merits of his strict observance of the law, and the tax collector who fell far short was to be despised. However, in fact, the Pharisee was a sinner and was in need of God's grace for justification, just as the tax collector. Now, the tax collector in the parable acknowledged his sin and sought God's mercy. The Pharisee did not, and Jesus said that the tax collector went down to his house justified rather than the Pharisee. You see, God has placed before us a standard to live by, his law, and it is a perfect standard. A holy God would not give any other standard than a perfect standard. And God demands a strict attitude toward observing that standard. In 1 Peter 1, verses 15 and 16, it says, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" And so we must strive to be holy as God is holy. That means being strict about keeping his law. But the fact is, we all fall short of the standard and are therefore under condemnation. Romans 3 and verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6 verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." And so we as sinners are in need of forgiveness. But how can God forgive us of our sins and be just in doing it? Well, that is accomplished through the death of Jesus Christ. In his death on the cross, Jesus paid the price for our sins, thus satisfying the demands of justice and making it possible for God to forgive us. Because of God's grace and mercy expressed in the death of his Son, we now can be saved from sin and stand justified in his sight. Romans 5 verses 8 and 9 says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so whether one falls little short of God's standard or far short, he still is dependent on the grace and mercy of God for forgiveness. No one can be righteous on his own merits. One who thinks he is righteous through his strict adherence to the law and does not see his need for the grace of God is a legalist. And this is a legalism that is condemned in Scripture. Paul said in Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Now, some people have the idea that being saved by God's grace, apart from our meritorious works, means there is nothing man must do to receive that grace, and there is nothing he can do to lose his salvation. They claim that if one contends there is something he must do to be saved, and if he contends there are actions required on his part to keep his salvation, then that nullifies salvation by grace, and he is a legalist as the Pharisees were. Well, this is not true. The Bible teaches that being saved by God's grace is conditional. There are conditions that man must meet to be saved by God's grace and to remain saved by His grace. Hebrews 5 and verse 9 says that Christ became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Notice, only those who obey Christ will be eternally saved. Receiving the grace of God does not exclude obedience on man's part. Consider with me a Bible example. God's grace was extended to Joshua and the children of Israel in the capture of Jericho, recorded in Joshua chapter 6. Verse 2 says, "And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor.'" And so the city of Jericho was a gift from God to the children of Israel by God's grace. But in verses 3 through 16, we read that instructions were given to be obeyed for them to receive God's gift. There were instructions about marching around the city for several days. When the children of Israel obeyed the instructions of the Lord, it says, "The wall fell down flat, and they took the city." Verse 20. Even though the children of Israel obeyed commands of God, the city was still a gift of God by His grace. What we see is that God's grace does not rule out instructions. God's grace does not rule out obedience. And God's grace does not rule out strict obedience. Obedience is required for one to be saved by grace. Being saved by God's grace does not mean that we cease to be strict about keeping His law. You see, obeying Christ to be saved includes repenting of our sins, Acts 3:19. Well, repentance means we turn from sin and strive to be holy as He is holy. That means we will be strict about doing His will. Coming to Jesus means we love Him, and so we strive to keep His commandments. As Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments," John 14, verse 15. To be saved, we must have faith, but saving faith is a faith with works or obedience. James says in James 2 and verse 24, "You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only." And so being justified by God's grace requires being strict about keeping His law. What if one is not serious about keeping the commandments of God? Listen to what John says in 1 John 2, verses 3 through 6. "Now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, 'I know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked." Being saved by God's grace does not mean that we cease to be strict about keeping His law. We just know that when we do transgress His law, that forgiveness is available through the death of Christ when we do what He tells us to do to be forgiven. Well, our time is gone for today, and we thank you for listening. But before we close, we want to invite you to check out our website. On this website, you're able to hear sermons on a variety of Bible topics, and you're also able to hear previous Bible Talk radio broadcasts. Now, the web address is sjchurchofchrist.com. That's sjchurchofchrist.com. If you have any questions about us or about anything that we have talked about today on the program, please contact us. You can call us at 573-263-4690. Or you may send us an email. Our email address is sjchurch@sjchurchofchrist.com.
You have been listening to Bible Talk, brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. You're invited to the services of the St. James Church of Christ, Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible classes and 10:15 for worship, Sunday evening at 5 for worship, Wednesday night Bible classes at 7. The church building is located at 685 Sydney Street in St. James, where Sydney Street and Highway B intersect. Thank you for listening, and join us again next week at this same time for Bible Talk.